All righty. Are we all doing phenomenal? You all look good. My wife was saying today, it's funny. She goes, I feel, when I walk around this country, I feel like I'm in the next top model. Everyone's so beautiful here. We have this show called The Next Model in America. And that's what I was saying when I used to drink, just like that. All right. We good? 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 All right. Okay. Here we go. Page 58. Come on there, young lady. You get a seat. Chop, chop. Page 58. Come back on. Bring that up here. I just want to make sure everyone's seated. Page 58. We have a chapter here that's called How It Works. Is that amazing? How It Works. And it works by the seventh tradition. And the seventh tradition says that we are self-supporting through our own contributions. All right? These wonderful people have paid a lot of money to get me out here. Big bucks. I'm just teasing. But they did. And they threw on this wonderful, wonderful. And I really want to give them a big hug. Good job. All you guys, Pele, thank you. Well, what's the name of your group that's helping putting in this on, or is this just the whole? CBS 12. CBS 12, okay. I'll put this on. They've paid for everything for you, so please, please donate, because this is going to go to next year's conference. And if you all like me, I'll come back out. No, so, little self-promotion. I love Copenhagen. I love the pork. Now we got to go for Wiener Schnitzel, and what else we have? More pork. Oink, oink, oink. Yeah, that's all I'm eating is pork over here. My goodness gracious. Okay, seventh tradition. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. I'll tell you a quick story about that while we're passing around the basket. The Rockefellers in the 40s, the Rockefellers are very, very, very wealthy people in the States. And they throw a party for one good cause every year. Bill Wilson's sister was married to a very prominent doctor in Manhattan, New York City. And he got an interview with the Rockefellers to throw the party for Alcoholics Anonymous. And Bill always wanted to have big Alcoholic Anonymous hospitals, and he wanted to have big treatment centers. He always thought big, big, big. Dr. Bob, on the other hand, said, Bill, we really need to keep this to ourselves. If any money and stuff comes into this, then we'll be beholden to them, okay? So what happened was, Bill is going, we're in the money, he's singing all the way to the bank, you know? And the Rockefellers threw a party for Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a few people that showed up from Alcoholics Anonymous and told their story. Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob were one. They tell their story, standing ovation, everybody loves them. Now, at this point in time, what was happening was we were making the big book, and we were broke, dead broke. Bill hadn't worked in 3 years. Dr. Bob hadn't worked in many years, and they were broke. And we had barely enough money to print this big book. So they were all done. They walk into the room with the Rockefellers, and they're waiting for this big old check. And they were very excited. And Rockefeller said this. He said, listen, boys, I'll tell you what. This is a God thing. You have something that's so beautiful here, I'm not going to mess it up with money. I could just see Bill Wilson out like... and Dr. Bob's like, rock on! Right? What happened was, about a couple weeks later, he put a little committee together, and that's how we have General Service in New York. There are two non-alcoholics on that, and then the rest are alcoholics. Okay? And he gave him $10,000 back in the 40s or the 30s. I mean, 30s, that was a lot of money. $10,000, which helped them pay themselves a very little stipend. I think it was $61 a month for Bill and Bob to continue on, because Bill was sleeping in people's houses every week. Every week, an alcoholic would invite him because he had no money. And he was just doing AA, AA, AA. Okay? And that $61 turned into a fiasco in the whole United States. It was crazy what happened. But so that's what happened. And the seventh tradition is that we support ourselves. No one can take us over. We do all this ourselves. Page 58. Page 58, chapter 5, how it works. You know what makes me laugh here? We actually have a whole chapter that says how it works, and we read it before the beginning of the meeting. Rarely have we seen a person fail as thoroughly follow our path. Those who do not recover are people who can't. I mean, you can just spurt it out the mouth, right? And then you say, how does it work? And everyone's like, don't drink, go to meetings. Think. They got all these slogans, No, it's not the way it works, okay? This is how it works. Are you ready? I want you to highlight this, page 58, first paragraph. Rarely, my wife's from Italy. She knows the English language. What does rarely mean? Almost never? Almost never. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Rarely. Do you know there was an argument up until chapter 5? Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob, what would happen was this. Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob. Bill Wilson would write a chapter, send it to Akron, Ohio. They would destroy it and then send it back. And then they would destroy it and send it back to Akron, and it was back and forth. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Bill Wilson wanted to put never. Never have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Dr. Bob says, are you crazy? People are going to say that they followed the path and they went out and got drunk. So Bill took it from this chapter forward. He put, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed the path. So the big question to me, being the self-proclaimed rocket scientist that I am, I said, well, what's the path? And my sponsor goes, good question. The path is the big book. The path is the 12 steps. The path. That is the path. The big book and the 12 steps. The meetings are great, but that's just where we find our sponsees, really. Okay? When they used to meet once a week on Friday in Akron, Ohio, once a week, the only thing they would do is they'd go over what was happening in the book, and they would go over what projects they were doing, who was going to what church, who was going to what mental institution, who was going to what detox, who was going, and they would hand out your assignment for the week. That's what they did. They didn't sit there and talk about chicken salad. I'm not going to tell you what state that's in. They didn't sit there and talk about their cat and dogs. Oh. Okay? Rarely have we seen a person fail who's thoroughly followed our path. The path is the big book and the 12 steps. Okay? I want you to turn to page 60. Turn to page 60. Page 60. After the letter C, it says, being convinced we were at step 3. I want you to circle step 3 and highlight it. Now they're going to start numbering where the steps are, okay? Being convinced we are at step 3, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? Question, answer. Ready? The first requirement, meaning the first requirement in doing the third step, the first requirement for step 3 was that we be convinced that any life run on self-will was hardly a success. How many people in here have had success when they took, I got it, God, just follow me, all right? It goes miserably, doesn't it? But this is the word, and this is what I want you to do with your sponsees. Being convinced we are at step 3, well, let's get convinced. Are you ready? Let's turn to page 59. Turn back to page 59, and let's be convinced we are at step 3. So what I do is I go to the sponsee and I say, okay, step 1, do you admit that you are powerless over alcohol and that your life was totally unmanageable when you were drinking or drugging? Yes or no? And then they answer, yes. Good. Step 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity about drinking. Not that you're insane, people. I hate when people take that out of context. Oh, it says that I'm insane. It's not sanity about drinking. Sanity meaning you went to a 9-month rehab and you walk across the street when you get out and get a drink. That's insane thinking, isn't it? Sanity about alcoholism. Will you come to believe that a power greater than yourself could restore you to sanity about alcoholism? And they'll say yes. Some will say no, and then I work with them on that. Okay? So now we're convinced we're at step 3. Does that make sense? I do exactly what this book states. All right? Being convinced we're at step 3. So now, I'll put step three up there. What I want you to do is I want you to turn to page 62. Turn to page 62, first paragraph. Check this out. Are you ready? Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our problem. And I said to myself, whoa there, cowboy. What are you talking about, selfishness, self-centeredness? It's the alcohol that's my problem. It has nothing to do with the alcohol. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that is the root of our problem. So the question that you all are probably asking is, how do I get rid of that? I am glad you asked. Let's go down to the second paragraph on page 62. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. And then I would say, wait a second, you got to stop right there. Have you not been hearing me for the last 90 days saying how everybody has just screwed me? It's all their fault? What do you mean that this is basically of my own problem? I had nothing to do with this. If you had my life, you'd drink too, right? How many of us said that? So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. No kidding. Though they usually don't think so, of which I did not. It says here, above everything. What does that mean, above everything? Above everything, I guess. Above all, we alcoholics must be rid of selfishness. We must, or it kills us. And how do we make that possible? God makes that possible. Okay? God makes that possible. When you're living in a God consciousness, when you're living in a spiritual hope, when you're driving down the road like me and you see this beautiful sunrise on the way of going to the gym and you just start crying, can I even think of hate, of discourse? I can't. I'm living in the God consciousness. Sometimes I swear to God, I don't believe that this life is mine. It is just too magnificent. All right? So it says here, God makes that possible. Believe that. Believe that in your heart. I want you to go to page 63 at the top of the page, and I want you to box this in. And I want you to write third step promises. This book is full of promises that people don't know about. They just read that ninth step. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. The only thing I was amazed was that I was still doing these stupid amends when people are slamming doors in my face. And you should wait till you hear my ninth step. It wasn't a pretty vision. All right? But it got me to where I am today. It got me here. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer being all, circle the word powerful and highlight it. So if you have an employer that's all powerful, how are you going to be powerless? You just can't. It's an oxymoron. He provided what we needed. If we kept close to him and performed his work well, established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves. Our little plans and designs, you want to see God laugh, just make up an idea. Tell him what your plans are. Now, it's not saying that you don't make up a plan, because I just told you that I designed my wife. I did. I put the top 10 things I wanted in a woman, and every time I dated, after 30 days, I would review that, and if she didn't meet 6 out of 10, I would move on lovingly. If she wanted to stay, hey, better for me. Right? But I didn't lie, cheat, and steal over this. Okay? And then Miss Italy came into my life, and we blasted 9 out of 10. I'm like, whoa! Because I believed I was worth it. And I did not settle for less. All right? Being all powerful, it provided what we needed if we kept close to him and formed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in our plans and our little designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt, circle, new power, here's more power flowing into you. As we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose the fear of the day, tomorrow, the hereafter. We were reborn. It says we are now at step three. I want you to work, circle step three. Now, what I would normally do, what I always do, is I invite everybody to get to their knees. You are very tight here, and you'd be hurting yourselves on this. So we're going to just do this, and we're going to sit. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to read the third step prayer with me. But when you're one-on-one, have your person get to their knees, and I'll tell you why. Of course, unless their religion states that they cannot get to their knees, and I've ran into that once. Okay? So it may happen. That's fine. So what I want to do is I want to take a moment, and then it's going to say, many of us said to our Maker as we understood him, and we are going to read the third step prayer, everybody out loud together. Let's take a moment of silence. Except for the child. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thy wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always, with an exclamation point at the end. It says, we thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready and that we could at least abandon ourselves utterly to him. Highlight this. We found it very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person. So that will be your sponsor, okay? And that's who you normally take it with. Some people like to go to priests, and that's fine. I always talk to my sponsor because I want this person to know the inner part of me at all times. So that's why I did it, okay? It says here, such as our wife, best friend, or spiritual advisor, but it's better to meet God alone than one with whom might misunderstand. The wording was, of course, quite optional. I have the honor of sponsoring two atheists, and this atheist did not believe in the third step prayer. They didn't like using the word God. Imagine that. And I was just like them. So what I had them do was write their own third step, because it says right here, the wording was, of course, quite optional. They wrote the most beautiful third step prayer that I have ever read in my entire life. It was beautiful. I'm like, and you don't believe in God? You know? And then I was like, oh, sorry about that. I'm not teasing you. Yeah. It was absolutely beautiful. It says here, voicing it without reservation, this is only a beginning. Please circle this. How many people have seen that old dance, as we call it in AA? 1, 2, 3, drink. 1, 2, 3, drink. And they stop at 3. They don't go on to the 4th step. They just 1, 2, 3, drink. Yeah, you want to come up and dance with me? 1, 2, 3, drink. I see it time and time and time again. Now is not the time to stop. So it says here, voicing it without reservation is only a beginning, though if honestly and humbly made, that's why I do it on my knees. How much more humble are you going to get than being on your knees? Okay? Humbly upon our knees. In effect, sometimes a very great one was felt. Now, you ready for this? There are no time frames in AA, correct? That's what we hear, no time frames in AA. Let me dispel that right now. I want you to highlight this. Next, we launched. How fast is launched? Launched is pretty darn fast, isn't it? I always tell of my roommate from college, who, by the way, I just found. And he's living in my town in Jacksonville. He's a colonel. He's flying an F-15. For the Air Force. He's been in there a long time, 25 years or so. And I talked to him once, and I said, what is it like to be launched off a carrier? Because I wanted to make sure I got the definition correct. He says, man, you're strapping your butt, and he was using other language, of course. You're strapping your butt to two rockets, and it just goes, and it just launches you off. So, next we launched. How fast is launched? Right, like faster than a second? So it says, next we launch out of course of vigorous action, the first step, which is personal house cleaning. Under personal house cleaning, write step 4. So now we're about ready to go do step 4. Turn to page 64 at the top. It says, which many of us have never attempted. Well, no kidding. I want to look at you. I don't want to look at me. It says here, though our decision to do the third step was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect, there's that permanent word again, permanent effect, unless, here's another time frame, circle, at once. How fast is at once? Fast. At once, followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in our lives which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom. Folks, the liquor is 1/12 of the problem. Step one, admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Get over it. Now we're going to start working the steps and give you a life that you could never, ever have imagined in your wildest dreams. Okay? Our liquor was but a symptom, 1/12 of the problem. So we had to get down to the causes and conditions. Therefore, we took a personal house cleaning. Circle step four. Highlight it. Here we go. You ready? Let's go into step four. We just did step three. Watch how I can blast somebody through the steps. Here's step four. Step four is broken up into four categories. Everybody thinks it's three, but it's actually four. And I will show you. And I found this in one of the readings, one of the studies. I have 16,000 pages of documents between Akron, Ohio, and New York. 16,000. And how it all started, how it all got. I have 700 pictures. Yeah, I'm a freak, and I will get a life here sooner or later. Okay? This is how the four-step works. You ready? Number one. So I want you to put part one. Bear with me. If you go to the page 64, third paragraph, circle resentment, highlight it, and put part one. Part one, resentment. Got it? Resentment. I ask you this question. When you have a resentment, you're just, I'm going to kill that son of a, right? Are you thinking of God? You're thinking how you're going to get that guy, right? Pele saw me yesterday. It is all over my body when I have a resentment. I found that one of my top producing salespeople in the United States lied. I couldn't breathe. I got the email and I couldn't breathe. I was so upset. I just left. And then my wife followed me and we talked about it and I came back in and I listened to this young lady here do a wonderful speech up here. Once again, I didn't understand a word you said, but I just knew you were saying good stuff and it made me feel better. All right? That's the beauty that we have here. Okay, but I had a resentment and I got rid of it like that. How'd I do it? Okay, I did resentment prayer. I'll show you where it is in here. I did a resentment prayer. I prayed for him because apparently this guy has fear of not enoughness. He thought he needed to steal because he had not enoughness. Well, guess what I could do now? I could show him that there's plenty and that he's not stealing at all. Take it. It's yours. Do you see what I could do for people? I can make them see the light. If he does it again, I'll terminate his you know what. Do you see what I mean? I could really show love, kindness, and compassion to this guy. And I got over it like that. Do you think if I was an AA, I would have thought of that? He would have been dead and decapitated. Right at the head. Okay? Or, actually, I probably would have gave him a prize because he stole money. And I would be like, rock on, we got them. You know what I mean? We live on a different lifestyle now. Does that make sense? So it says here, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. Ain't that the truth? Okay? It says, from it stems all forms of spiritual diseases. For we are not only mentally and physically ill, we are spiritually sick. Once the spiritual malady straightens out, we straighten out mentally and physically. I said, whoa. How am I going to do that? I'm atheist. Have you not been listening to me? He says, well, then you're hosed. He kept on saying that. But I did find my spiritual awakening. And they are right. Once the spiritual malady straightens out, we straighten out mentally and physically. Now check this out. We have a threefold disease. I just said it. Mental, physical, spiritual. Right? Mental, physical, spiritual. We have 12 steps. 9, 10, 11, 12. These are the spiritual steps. 1 through 3 are the spiritual steps. 4 through 7 are the mental steps. 8 and 9 are the physical steps. You physically go out. 10 through 12 are daily 1 through 9 steps. Voila. That's how it works. We do the spiritual steps first because now it gets ready to look at a lot of stuff. You know, the first thing I do, when we're about ready to do this 4-step, the first thing I say to the person is I look them straight in the eye, I say, tell me what you were not going to tell me when you came here. And I catch them all the time. I want to know right now what you weren't going to tell me. And then they tell me the thing. Come on, folks. We all have the thing.
The thing.
Right? We all have the thing. I had the thing. I had it. I had 22 pages of resentment. 22 pages. Oh, my God. But you know what I remember? Out of that four-hour four-step, one thing that I said, and it was the thing. It was the thing. Okay? I don't care if someone cussed at you when you were five or touched, didn't go on a date with you when you were seven. It really doesn't matter. I want to know the meaty stuff. Like, I want to kill my mother. I want to kill my father. That's a resentment we can work with. It's juicy stuff. You know what I mean? Once you break it down into that, this four steps like nothing. What kind of insanity are we thinking when I say, go home and fill out these steps? 3 months later, how are we doing? And they're still looking at the page. Stop it. I want you from this point forward to write the four step for them. You will have that in your lap. You will have a pen. And you will get through all the bull right away. Okay? Why do we do it like this? Because Bill Wilson did this with his sponsor called Ebby. And Ebby, as it says in Bill's story, came to the hospital and Bill couldn't write. He was shaken. So Ebby wrote it for him. So I just follow that. Dr. Bob used to do it the same way. He sat there and he got through. And you can get through a four step in an hour. So people are saying to me, well, aren't you missing stuff? Of course. Why do you think we have daily inventory? Because if you're doing daily inventory, you won't miss it. You're going to meet with your sponsor once a week. You're going to go over the inventory and, oh, by the way, I missed. Oh, by the way, I missed. Oh, by the way, I missed. Until finally you're... No. Want to watch me float? No? Novella? Okay. Okay. Okay? Do you see that? I just want the meaty stuff. Resentment. Here we go. It says here, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentment, we set them down on paper. You got to write it, folks. You can't just sit there and smoke a cigarette. Am I mad at any? No, I'm pretty good today. You got to write it down. You got to be with a sponsor when you write this stuff down. Okay? It says we put it down on paper. It says here, we list people, institutions, and principles. Mother, father, sisters, brothers. Institutions, your banking, your work, your job. Principles is like the Ten Commandments, the Muslim religion, the Catholic religion. Principles, laws that your country may have that just drives you crazy. Okay? Those are the principles. And then it says here, we ask ourselves why we had them. The cause. And then it says, affects my. Okay? Because if you go down to the bottom, it says, in most cases, we found that the self-esteem, pocketbook, ambition, personal relationship, including sex. All right? That's the third column. But you know what? When I'm doing the initial four step, I don't care how it affects you. I really don't. I want to show you what your part in is. Because if you were like me, you thought everybody screwed you. Well, that's not a true statement. Because I will show you how you're drinking, you're drugging, your choices, and your actions. Why am I going to show you this? Because I like to beat you up? No. Because I want to show you how much power you have. How much power you have to change this. You don't have to live your life like this anymore. Okay? So I go right to where was I to blame? So you want to find out, because everybody could write a grudge list. So you look at the guy and say, give me the top thing you just hate. It's normally mother or father. Write it down. All right, give me the cause. Mine, what I said, my father beat me all the time. So my sponsor stopped. He goes, golly, man, every time you walked in your house, every time your father beat you? Well, not every. I found out it was like three beatings. I mean, they were pretty bad beatings. Okay? So you want to get specific. Beat me all the time. Always, never get rid of that saying, okay? So then, if you turn, it says, if you turn to page, page 66, first paragraph, page 66, first paragraph. It is plain that life, which includes deep resentment, leads to futility and happiness. Stop it. If you have these deep resentments, get rid of them. How do you do it? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is the only way to do it. And to ask the person, when I went to my mother on the ninth step, I would say to her, why would you watch this person beat me. Why would you watch this? That's what I wanted to say. Why? But I went, I said, hey, listen, you know, I apologize for putting a knife to your throat. I apologize for stealing your car and your money, blah, blah, blah. And you know, when I was done, she says, you know, something's been bothering me. Let me tell you the situation that I was in when you were a kid and your father beat you and I had to watch that. Let me tell you how I felt. Oh, my God. I had no idea. And the forgiveness came back and we loved each other from that point forward. Do you see this? This program is unbelievable. Valeria's got a story about her grandfather. She also got a good story about making amends to the Pope. Yeah. That's a good one. Ask her about that. Okay? I want you to go down five lines from where we just read, and it says, resentment is infinitely grave. We found it to be fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the Spirit, the insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. If we were to live, we had to be free from anger. That's easy to say. But what happens with me is when I get that anger like I got outside yesterday, fades away. Within minutes, maybe an hour, it fades away, fades away, fades away. Because I know how to handle it. I have tools, okay? I have tools. And you know what that, if I was to write a four-step, of which I did on that guy, do you know what it said? Had the guy's name, the cause, he stole, and you know what the part, my part was? He made me look bad. Is it at all about how we look? All right? He made me look bad. That was it. Do I care about him and his needs? Did I call him up and say, hey, dude, are you okay? Tell me what's going on. How are your finances? What's happening? No, made me look bad. Now, how selfish do I feel? So now I'm going to call him up and say, hey, this is not you. What happened? What's going on? Just think about how much I could help him spiritually without him even knowing it. See, this AA stuff kind of just like gets in everyone's life. Okay? It says here, I want you to go to page 67. I want you to go to the second paragraph. And it says, referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely look at our own mistakes. That's the fourth column. That's the fourth column. Okay? So now we're looking at our mistakes. You want to look at what their problem is. Drinking and alcohol and drugging. How did it get in? Okay? I want you to go to page 67. No, excuse me. Page 68. First paragraph. 68, first paragraph. It says here, we reviewed our fears. We reviewed our fears. So, I want you to write part two, fear. Now we're going to look at fear inventory, okay? Let's take a look at the fear inventory. The fear inventory looks like this. Part two, fear. All right? So it says here, we put them down on paper. Voila. I got you the paper for you. Okay? We put them down on paper. Even though we had no resentments and connections with them, we ask ourselves why we had them. Column two. And then two paragraphs down, it says, what would God have us be? Not do. Do is an action. Do is a verb. Being is an adjective. In American, being. Be. Okay? I could be a wonderful man. Can't do a wonderful man. Maybe. But if you're being it, the doingness just comes. It's the being. What would God have us be? You know what the first thing I always see on fear is? Not staying sober. So let's write that. So we put not staying sober. So then I would say to him, why do you have this fear? And he'd look at me like, yo, genius. I've been relapsing. This is my 90th time in AA. Oh, sorry. You're right. I understand why you have that fear now. Okay? Lack of money. Why do you have that? I'm broke. Okay? Not staying sober. Okay? Not finding a loved one. You're going to hear the same thing over. And you can get up, go to the bathroom, they can come back, you can come back, and you just start writing. And it's going to be in the same order. They say the same thing over and over again. It's the lack of fullness. It's the lack of thinking that you don't have enough of which you do. It's something that you're going to have to realize yourself. Okay? Fear. Do you have that? Fear. That's a big one too. A lot of people have fear. Fears are big. Fears are real. And talk about it. The next thing is page 68, last paragraph. This is the one I like. Now about sex. Huh? Yeah. Most of the thing is right here. It was my thing. Okay. In Dr. Bob's story, it says how many thousands of men and women he brought through the steps. Okay. It says in Dr. Bob's story here, Dr. Bob, to 1950, the year of his death, he carried the AA message to more than 5,000 alcoholic men and women. When I read that and I started studying, I had a woman, who asked me to sponsor her. I thought about that because it's woo, right? So I started reading about Bob helping others. He was looking at people as souls. You are all souls here. And if I could help that soul, whether you're beautiful or not, right? It doesn't matter. You all have a soul and you all want this love. I talked to my wife about it and I said, would you think if I was to sponsor women, if I was to bring them in the house and you would be here to make them comfortable, I mean, you don't have to listen, you'd be in a room. And they talked to me. It has made me so much more of a better sponsor than I ever could have imagined because I became, believe it or not, more understanding. Instead of saying, dude, will you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps? Come on. Right? You can't do that with women. It's totally different. But I would hear fifth steps that would really change my life. And I needed to start going into prayer and meditation after I would hear a woman's fifth step just to forget what I heard because it was so devastating. And I just wanted to be like, oh my God. You know, how do you tell someone life is going to be so phenomenal, so great? And I do. I tell them. I said, that was nasty, terrible, the worst. Now let's take that and we're going to move forward. We're going to move forward, okay, in a loving and gentle manner. And it takes a lot more time because you all have been devastated so hard, okay? With a guy, a lot of guys, it's some other stuff that they have to deal with, whether it's a lot of stuff. So it's tough. So you want to get that out because this is the stuff that's going to drive you crazy. This is beautiful. It's great. Play with it. Have fun with it. Okay? If you decide to have a monogamous relationship, it was funny. My wife and I, when we dated for a year, we dated everybody. Everybody. She'd say, hey, I'm going on an appointment. Okay. She worked for me. And I was like, wait a second. You have no appointment today. And it meant she's going on a date. And I was like, oh, sorry. That's cool. And then she called me up. She goes, hey, this guy's a jerk. Can you call me up and say you got to go to the office? Okay, let me get this. So you want me to lie? And I was dating a lot of people. We were having fun. Okay, we were having fun. I wasn't lying. I wasn't cheating. I wasn't stealing. I was having fun. And then one day, about a year, year and a half into it, 2 years maybe, I said, hey, you want to have a monogamous relationship? And she goes, sure. What's that? She didn't understand the word monogamous, meaning one on one. So that's what we chose to do, okay? Have fun with it. It's beautiful. God didn't give us this beautiful thing we call sex and, you know, say, well, no, you got to do it this way and stay away from this and this. You know what I mean? Please, please. Treat it with respect. It's going to be beautiful. But that is the thing that drives most people out. Okay, so be aware of it, be understanding of it. You know, some people tell you stuff, don't be like, oh my God, you know, you're sick. You know, you don't want to do something like that. Get out of my house, you freak. No, I didn't do that. Okay, it says here, now about sex. Many of us needed an overhauling there. No kidding. All right. Above all, which means, I guess, above all, it says we try to be sensible about this question. Turn to page 69. Page 69. Now, folks, okay, the main reason why it's on 69 is not because Bill was some kind of a pervert. Because people are like, the sex inventory is on 69. Get it? Yeah, I get it. What happened was when they moved some of the page numbers back to make Bill's story number one, page one, instead of the doctor's opinion, the numbers had to fall down. And sex landed on 69, and maybe it was a God-given thing. I don't know. Or maybe I'm the only one that thinks about that. You probably are like, I never noticed that. So now don't I look like a jerk? Pervert. First paragraph. We reviewed our conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate? Okay? And you're going to be able to see from my inventory here that I write part three, sex. Okay? Whom had I hurt? Where I've been selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? What should we have done instead? Okay, that's huge. Where was I at fault? What should I have done instead? Okay, let's look at this. Because now what we're going to try to do is, if you see it, it says we get all this down on paper and look at it. All right, I want you to go to the next paragraph on page 69, second paragraph, three lines down. We ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them, whatever they may be. Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob believe that you are worth it. Do you know what I did? I said, all right, let's try this spiritual stuff out. What I did is I took a legal pad on the back of the sex inventory, and I have everybody do it. Males, females, it's funny. You do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then let's say I had the females over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I say this. I say, okay, guys, you ready for this? God is coming down and he's going to touch you on your head right now and say, child, I believe you are worth whatever you want to design, and I don't care what it is. You know, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's looks. I don't care if it's personality. I don't care what it is. But I want you to design your husband, your wife, your mate, your friend. I want you to design this person now, okay? I want you to design this person now. Now be very careful. This person will show up in your life. Men, right? Long legs, you know, blonde hair, all looks for the first four. Females, sensitive, spiritual. I swear to God, it's like, it is so fun. And I did it. I did it. She's right there. She's smoking hot. All right? I did it. I did do it. Valeria is 9 out of 10. So you're probably saying, well, what's the one she's missing? I have two children from a previous marriage. They're 17 and 16, and they are the love of my life, and they're wonderful, and they love me, and I love them, and we're so very healthy. It's great. We love being with each other. Valeria has a son. I did not want a woman who had a son or a daughter. It didn't matter. I didn't want somebody. But do you know what? This kid is my hero. The kid is my hero. He's phenomenal. He's literally a genius. He talks to me, and I'm like, my two kids are like surfer dudes. They're like, yo, dude, what's up? You know, surf's up, you know, Florida. He's like, you know, he has a book. It's like this bigger than his body. He's like, whoa. And then he starts talking to me. I'm like, dude, dummy it up a little bit. I have no idea what you just said. Wonderful kid, good kid, loving kid. Oh, right here, loving kid. So, what do I know, right? Nice. So really, she's 10 out of 10, okay? Once you start dating again, if you decide to start dating again, if you want to wait for a year, that's fine. You know why they say wait a year? I think it's because if you have 6 weeks sobriety, you're going to most likely put all your efforts onto that relationship, and you're not going to build spiritually. That's what I see, okay? But how else are you going to find out about life except by a relationship with another human? How much more intimate can you get than a sexual relationship with another human? Okay? That's when you're going to find character defects and flaws. She will tell you tonight. All right? Okay? But I want you to believe that this person that's going to come into your life, do you hear the way I say never the word might come into your life? The way this person will come into your life, this person will come into your life, and you will have a relationship that you could just... We pray and meditate together. We work out together. We travel together. We work together. Our offices have to be next to each other. People say, that is crazy. You know what I mean? That's, you never hear that. But I believe that I was worth it. And guess what? Poof. Okay? Bella. We got Bella. All right. Now, I want you to go page 69. And I want you to go one, two, third paragraph. All right? Third paragraph. This is the fourth part that everybody misses. This is the fourth part that everybody misses. Part four. Harms done others. Harms done others. The harms done others. And this is what it looks like. Pretty simple. Who'd you screw over and what did you do? Simple. You know, who did you harm and what did you do? That's all we need to know. Where did I get that from? I want you to go down to page 69, one, two, third paragraph. Whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. That's the sex ideal that we're talking about, but check this out. We must be willing to make amends where we have circled done harm. That's it. Harm's done others. How are you going to make amends if you don't write it down? That's the fourth, that's a part four, okay? It's part four. All right? I want you to go to the last sentence on page 69. God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable, but we let God be the final judge. So, if a female of 6 weeks sobriety, a male of 30 days sobriety comes up and says, I found love in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. First thing I'm like, oh my God. Two sickies don't make a welly. No, I'm kidding. I'm like, oh, it's sweet, sweet, you know. But let me tell you what my experience is over the years. This is what's going to happen, and I lay it out. And then I say, but you and God can be the judge alone. So you need to do what you feel is right. 10 times out of 10, they're going to date. And my phone's going to ring off the hook day and night. And I'm like, oh, sugar. And sugar is not the word I use. Okay? So that's what we do. Okay. It also states here, if you look at page 70, first paragraph, if you go down to about seven sentences down, it starts off with, if we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. We are not theorizing. These are facts out of our experience. There are people in this room, male and female, that use this as a dating service. Okay? People are getting harmed. We all love each other. This is sacred grounds for us. All right? Think before you act. Nice. One standing ovation. But I agree. Okay? This is sacred grounds. It really is. All right? Think about it. Talk about it. This is not a dating service. This is Alcoholics Anonymous. All right? Now, I've seen people who have dated and got married and have a beautiful, beautiful life. All right, but they worked the steps first. They sponsored others first. They pray and meditate first. They became healthy. Then they started dating. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah? Do I hear an amen? All right. I should have got the pulpit up here. Do I hear an amen? All right. And this is the main reason why we keep that list. Keep your four-step list, because on page 70, one, two, third paragraph down, about seven sentences, page 70, third paragraph down, about seven sentences, says, we have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct, and we are willing to straighten out the past. These are the people that we have hurt, and we're going to straighten out the past. Got it? You're done with your four-step. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to take these things home. I want you to give them to your sponsor. Hopefully your sponsor's here, okay? And if not, find somebody that will listen to your four-step, just like this gentleman's this evening, right? And have them write it. Show them how this is done, okay? Grab somebody who has worked the steps. I want you to turn to chapter 6, and we're going to finish up. You ready to finish up? Now we go through it really fast. This is it. Chapter 6, I want you to write steps. Pele, did you steal? You stop stealing my stuff. Bella. I don't know why you did that. Oh, you got me my own. Oh, didn't you just shove that in my face? Okay. At the top of the page, this is steps 5 through 11. Watch how fast we go through this. Now, the founding fathers and one sister knew that we were going to come into this stuff with stuff.
The thing.
The thing. Okay? So they wanted to make sure that we said this thing. And when I came into it, and I had 22 pages, I left the thing off. I left it off. I'm a perfect alcoholic. Okay? So my sponsor said, okay, let's go over this chapter 5. Let's go over this before we do the fifth step. Are you ready? I'm like, yeah, boss, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And we sit down, and I'm nervous. And he says, okay, let's look at the top of page 72, first paragraph. Okay? It says, we have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way the trouble is. We have put our fingers on the weak items in our personal inventory. Circle the word now. How fast is now? Fast? Now, these are about ready to be cast out. Okay? So, you got it? It says, this requires action on our part, which when completed, which means we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step. Circle fifth step. Circle fifth step. It's going to say 9 times in the next 3 paragraphs, are you sure you're telling me everything? Let's write them down. Right? So I'm thinking I'm getting away with something. There is no way I'm going to tell him about that thing. I'll tell you the thing. Now I can tell. I'll tell you the thing. I'll tell you the thing tonight. Tonight at 8 o'clock here at the... Like, is it 9 o'clock? It's like an advertisement here. Okay? I want you to go to the second paragraph on page 72. I want you to go down 9 lines. And it's going to say, why to do step 5? The best reason first, I guess. The best reason first, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. I have seen that time and time and time and time again. People not doing the fifth step and drinking. I'm sick and tired of it. So I take these people right from the fourth, writing it, because I'm writing it and they're saying it at the same time. See how I do it? I knock out 2 things in 1 shot. I get it done in an hour. Oh, well, Susie Lou didn't let me hold her hand when I was... Shut up. I don't say that to women. I'm more gentle. The guys, I'm like, shut up. I want the big stuff, you know? So it says here, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Here we go. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts. 1. And then he looked at me. He goes, are you trying to keep certain facts? No, man, not me. And I'm thinking, he's seeing through me, man. He's seeing through me. He's seeing through me. All right. So then it says here, trying to keep to themselves certain facts of their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience. He says, Doug, you're not trying to avoid this humbling experience, are you, man? You're not leaving something out. I'm like, no, dude, not. Halo. I'm an angel. He goes, good. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they turn to easier methods. Doug, you're not trying to turn to an easier method and leaving something off this 22-page resentment. No. No, not me, Greg. That's not it. Okay, almost invariably, which means almost always, almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wonder why they fell. We, the first 100 people of Alcoholics Anonymous, think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. He says, Doug, have you completed your house cleaning with this 22 pages? And now I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, he does know. How did he find out? And I just looked at him straight in the eye and I said, yeah, man, I completed it. Lied to his face. All right? Lied to his face. I want you to go down about 5 lines on page from where we just left off. It says, 5 lines at the top of the page of 73, where we just left off. It says, but they had not learned enough humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. He says, are you telling me your whole life story in this book right here? I had a book. I said, yeah, Greg, man, it was tough. It was powerful. Yeah, I'm leaving this huge block out. I filled it in with junk. I don't even know what I wrote. Go to the bottom of the page, 73, last paragraph. We must be entirely honest with somebody. Doug, are you entirely honest with me on this? I'm like, Greg, this is getting old, man. Yeah. He goes, I'm just following the book. He's like, I'm just following the book. I'm doing what the book says. I said, okay. We must be entirely honest with somebody if we were to expect to live long and happily in the world. Go to page 75. Check this out. First paragraph, page 75. This is step five. You ready? Page 75, first paragraph. When we decide who is to hear our story, how much time do we waste? How much is that? Like, none? Hey, I may not be like the genius of this crowd here, but no time means like no time. Okay. So it says here, when we decide to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory, and we're prepared to take a long talk. Folks, I give somebody about 1 or 2 hours, depending on how I think they may be. 2 hours on the big side, because I can get through all the garbage. You may want to give 2 or 3 hours in the beginning when you're writing someone's inventory. We explain to our partner what we're about ready to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a, underline this and highlight it and circle it, life and death errand. This is life and death we are working on here. Okay? Life and death. Treat it as such. Most people approaching this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. Here we go. We pocket our pride and go to it, eliminating every twist of character. Doug, have you told me every twist of character in your life? I'm like, are we on with this? I said, of course I have. And I say it with a smile. He says, every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Doug, have you told me every dark cranny of the past? Now, he says to me, okay, I'm going to say this one more time. And if you want to get over on me, that's fine. But I just got to make sure that I'm doing my job. So I'm going to ask you one more time. Once we take this step, withholding nothing, are you withholding anything? And I was like, yes, it happened in 1989. Right? Tell him that. And then I was done and I was like, oh my God. I had an out-of-body experience. I told this guy the thing. And I that's what I said. And I looked at him. And I was waiting for a facial expression from this guy like, you're sick, get out of my house. Greg. He's still my sponsor to this day. And he looked at me. And he's like, is that it? He goes, let me tell you my thing. And he told me, I was like, you're sick. Nine times, all right? That's what I want you to come away from here with today on the fifth step. Make sure they know this is life and death, and you're going to ask them nine times, okay? I also want you to look at the fifth step promises, page 75, second paragraph. I want you to box it in. These are the fifth step promises. We park at our pride and we go to it, eliminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We could be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have certain spiritual beliefs, but we now have a spiritual experience. The next paragraph, returning home. Returning home. This is what you tell your sponsee to do. Returning home, we find a place where we could be quiet for 1 hour. Carefully reviewing the five, what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know Him better. Taking this book down from the shelf, we turn to the pages which contain the 12 steps, carefully reading the first five proposals. So what I do is I go back to page 59, and I look at the sponsee, and I say, step one, do you admit that you are powerless over alcohol and your life has become unmanageable? The answer to that is yes. Step two, came to believe a power greater than ourselves can restore you to sanity. Do you believe that with all your heart? Step three, made a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral image of yourself, withholding nothing. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of your own, withholding nothing. They will almost definitely say yes to all those. So then it says this, page 76 at the top of the page. If we could answer to our satisfactions the questions that I just asked you, we then, how fast is then? Now, we then look at step six, okay? This is step five. Now we look at step six. Folks, every character defect known to man. Welcome. I got 2 pages of them. But this is the twist. Look at what I got on the right side. Okay? Stop beating yourself up. Get to the right side. Let's start falling in love with ourselves. Do you see that? So, we get to step 6. It says, we have emphasized a willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us everything which we have admitted is objectionable? And I ask them that question, and they say yes. Can he now take them, every one? Yes. If we are still clinging to something we will not let go, we ask God. That's a 6-step prayer. If you have something that you cannot let go, pray about it. It will help 9 times out of 10. Trust me on this. Okay? That's step 6. What I want you to do on your sheets, I want you to put a little mark, little X, next to each one of these. You can't beat me. I had 62. I'm down to 30. Okay? 62 of these character defects. Click. And then I wrote a little something showing why I'm selfish, why I'm dishonest, why I'm resentful. I want you to do that. Okay? And then show this to your sponsor. Your sponsor's going to be like, whoa, we got a lot of work. All right? So that's what I want you to do on the 6th step. Look, 2 pages. Isn't that beautiful? But I also want you to look at the other side. That's what we're going to aim for. I always give you a vision on what to aim for. Life is a vision. We got it? All right. Now it says, when ready, we say something like this. Now, the big book used to say in step 7, humbly upon our knees. So what I do is I get the sponsee back on their knees, and we will take a moment of silence and read the 7th step together. Okay? When ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Do you see anything different between the 3rd and the 7th step prayer? Folks, we are almost done. We are almost done. Follow with me. Here we go. This is the stretch. Watch this. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. On the 3rd step prayer, there is no amen at the end of that. Did you notice that? The 3rd step prayer, there's no amen. Why? It's because at the 7th step prayer, which it says amen, what happens is you're working all the mental steps. You have now just looked at your whole life, and it probably isn't pretty, and that's okay. And now you look at it, and amen means, in spiritual terms, so be it. I've looked at it all. It is what it is. So be it. If I can go back and change it, I would, and I can. Through steps 8 and 9. Got it? Step 3 gets us prepared mentally. Step 7, amen, so be it, you're done. Now, let's go out and make amends. Are we ready? All right, good. This is going to be steps 8 and 9. Now, let me tell you about this card that I wrote here, and I want everyone to stay on the same page. But it says here, after we said amen, it says, we have then completed step 7.